Now, the rest of the story. In the fledgling days of aviation, the pioneers were a breed apart. With helmets and goggles and scarfs flying in the wind, they dared to explore the vast uncharted ocean of air with all of its mystery and magnificence and danger. They kept themselves alive and flying by barnstorming, landing their planes in farm fields from which they would give local folks an unforgettable ride for $5. The kid they called Slim was one such barnstormer. He didn't have to be. He was the son of a congressman. He'd been offered an office job, and his mother was much anxious about the danger of these wire wooden fabric flying machines. But Slim said that if he could fly for 10 years before dying in a crash, he would trade that 10 years for an ordinary lifetime. Now, there were other ways of making flying pay. There were county fairs where they'd pay a man to jump from a plane and parachute onto the fairgrounds. If flying was considered dangerous, parachute jumping was considered suicidal. And the kid called Slim learned a way to harvest extra dollars from the county fair promoters. When he climbed out of his plane before jumping, he'd walk out on the wing and stand there, sometimes with both hands in the air, as the spectators held their breaths. So effective was this stunt that Slim improvised and embellished his act, eventually to become known as the Master Wing Walker. And while others tried and failed, Slim approached each demonstration only after meticulous planning. Let me run that by again. Slim approached each demonstration only after meticulous planning. He learned the stress limits of every strut and every wire. He calculated the whipping blast of the slipstream at various speeds, how to attach a leather strap to the landing gear spreader bar. This strap he could hold in his teeth for balance, while his weight was supported by a specially designed steel cable hooked to a strong harness beneath his coat. What I'm saying is that while the daredevils tried and died, Slim calculated his margin for safety with engineering preciseness. The first day he stood on top of the wing while the plane did a loop in the sky, dangerous as it appeared, he knew what he was doing. He'd rigged his harness with several times the safety factors necessary. He'd made metal heel cups like those on roller skates with straps to hold his feet in place. The heavy leather belt around his waist was attached to four strong cables which ran to wing hinge pins. He might fall down, but he could never fall off. He was rigged as safely as though he had been strapped inside the cockpit. And thus, in the learning years of aviation, one barnstormer, though they advertised him as a daredevil, one barnstormer used his good sense and engineering skills to perform every so-called stunt with fail-safe reserve. And thus, he lived to die in bed. And in between, the barnstormer became a military pilot, an airmail pilot, and an engineer of world renown. And there can be no doubt that the genius he demonstrated in taming the wind one day in 1927 would make it possible for him to negotiate the most hazardous mission of all. When he, without navigation instruments, without radio contact, without advanced weather information, became the first human ever to fly in what is little more than a box kite by today's standards, to fly alone across the Atlantic. That Slim Lindbergh made it was no accident. Now you know the rest of the story.